ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो टू Chapter 9, titled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, Text 12. Pravala Vaidurya Mrinala Varchasa Parispurat Kundala Mauli Malinaha.
Pravala, coral, Vaidurya, a special diamond, Mrinala, celestial lotus, Varchasaha, rays, Parispurat, blooming, Kundala, earring, Mauli, heads, Malinaha, with garlands. Translation: some of them are effulgent like coral and diamonds in complexion and have garlands on their heads, blooming like lotus flowers, and some wear earrings. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are some inhabitants who have attained the liberation of sarupya or possessing bodily features like those of the personality of Godhead. The Vaidurya diamond is especially meant for the personality of Godhead. But one who achieves the liberation of bodily equality with the Lord is especially favored with such diamonds on his body. Since it's a short purport, I'll read the next verse as well. So this is the text 13.
भ्राजिष्णुभिर्या परितो विराजते लसद्विमानावलिभिर्महात्मनां विद्योतमाना परमदोत्तमद्युभिः सविद्युदभ्रावलिभिर्यथा नभा.
Translation: the Vaikuntha planets are also surrounded by various airplanes, all glowing and brilliantly situated. These airplanes belong to the great Mahatmas or devotees of the Lord. The ladies are as beautiful as lightning because of their celestial complexions. And all these combined together appear just like the sky decorated with both clouds and lightning. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It appears that in the Vaikuntha planets there are also airplanes brilliantly glowing, and they are occupied by the great devotees of the Lord with ladies of celestial beauty as brilliant as lightning. As there are airplanes, so there must be different types of carriages like airplanes, but they may not be driven machines as we have experienced in this world, because everything is of the same nature of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. The airplanes and carriages are of the same quality as Brahman. Although there is nothing except Brahman, one should not mistakenly think that there is only devoid of no variegatedness. Thinking like this due to poor fund of knowledge, otherwise no one would have such a misconception of voidness in Brahman. As there are airplanes, ladies and gentlemen, so there must be cities and houses and everything else just suitable to the particular planets. One should not carry the idea of imperfection from this world to the transcendental world and not take into consideration the nature of the atmosphere as completely free from the influence of time, etc. as described previously.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhudair Mahadhir Ya Ima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmakaha Solangrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna. This section of Srimad Bhagavatam is about realization of Lord Brahma. So the world has gone through many kinds of revolutions in one sense. You know, there was industrial revolution, there was green revolution, there was, you know, now the information revolution is going on. And in India, they were speaking about pink revolution. That was crazy. What does this pink stand for? It is standing for meat. They want to export maximum meat from India. So there are so many kinds of crazy revolutions going on. And we are in the middle or maybe end of information revolution. There is so much of information available, but there is not so much of transformation of heart in the real sense. So information is one thing, but the realization is something else. Our parampara and our acharyas are demonstrating what is realization. It is not just presentation of knowledge, but realizing that knowledge. It is becoming real in our life. It is not just theory, but it is real. And when it is real, we live life according to that. And till then, it remains theory. So Srimad Bhagavatam can be both theory and practical. For some people, it can remain just theory. And for some people, it can become completely practical. So our objective is to realize Jnana and Vijnana. Jnana Vijnana Sahitam. 7th chapter, Krishna says, in the beginning verse, that both aspects, Jnana and Vijnana. Now, if you see our previous acharyas, they are also showing both aspects. If you see the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva, he actually got instructed from Narada Muni, and then there are few verses after the instruction. Narada Muni leaves And those verses clearly show that Vyasadeva realized the knowledge that he had heard. So this is very important. So Srimad Bhagavatam is opening up and showing that our acharyas not just heard the instructions or got the knowledge, but they have realized. So with respect to Vyasadeva, he meditated once received the instructions from Narada Muni. Bhakti yogena manasi samyakt pranihite amale abhashyan purusham purnam maya yatat apashrayam. He fixed his mind perfectly in devotion service without any material contamination unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he got the darshan, he got the vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead along with his external material energy fully in his control. So the process adopted by Vyasadeva, which was devotion service, is meditation unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he did realize the Supreme Lord along with his external energy. And there is a specific reason why this external energy is mentioned. As we can see in the next verse, due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. So because of this external energy, even though the pure living entities, they come under clutches of this material energy and they do suffer, then he actually, with that realization, he did his service. Anarthobashamam sakshal bhakti yogam adhokshate. Ajanata logan vidwan chakre sattuta samhitan. He actually wrote Sattuta Samhita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, completely because he wanted to show compassion to the living entities, having fully realized this Bhagavad Dharma. So Vyasadeva, our Acharya, he realized. In the same way, this section is showing the realization of Brahmaji. Because Brahmaji is the founder of the Sampradaya. He's a Sampradaya Acharya. He's realizing. So this conversation is nothing but revelation of realization of Lord Brahma. Because here, what is it mentioned here? He's seeing the Vaikuntha planet. By the Lord's mercy, he's getting the vision of the Vaikuntha planets. And ultimately, he gets the darshan of Vaikuntha planets as well as Golok Vrindavan. So it is showing he's realized. So this realization is what is important. We need to come to the platform of realization. Unless and until, knowledge cannot be used completely. When it comes to realization, there was a very interesting conversation between His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj and one of the atheistic scientists. A few years back, I watched that video. There was a debate in Oxford University, and this scientist was presenting many kinds of arguments supporting atheism, like, you know, oh, so much of suffering in this world, cancer in this world, why is there, you know, there is no possibility of a loving God if we have so much of suffering in this world. So he was arguing in this line so many things. Then Maharaj explained very nicely, and he left with no questions. And he couldn't accept, but at the same time, he had no arguments. And in between, he made a very interesting point that when we speak about realization, it is not something which is beyond this world in one sense. We have realization from the authorities of many things. He took the example of this microphone. He said, this microphone, for example, if someone explains how this works, that is shabda, that is explanation from an authority. And we give that respect, and we take this. Okay, that's fine. We don't have to study, we don't have to dismantle the whole thing, we don't have to do research on each and every item, but when we hear from the authority, we do accept as shabda and we use it. We don't wait till, you know, we understand everything about it. So this is the point of realization, hearing from the authorities. We just accept. Here, what is Lord Brahma saying in the verse 12? He's telling, Some of them are effulgent like coral and diamond in complexion. Coral and diamond. First of all, we can't relate to coral and diamond because hardly we have seen. We can relate to plastic, but when it comes to coral and diamond, it's a bit difficult. So we feel distant reading this. Okay, it is okay. It's interesting. And some having garlands on their head. Okay, maybe for devotees, we are seeing garland all the time. So we could relate a little bit on garlands. But for a third person, he can't really understand what is this. Blooming like lotus flower. Some wear earrings. So it can look a bit, you know, difficult to understand. But it's a reality. What scientists are saying, for example, they're going to different planets apparently. There is, Land Rover is there. It's giving many pictures, or they're telling about different kinds of rocks and sand. And can we actually go and verify all these things? Not possible. We do accept authority. So that is Shabda. That is the Shabda Praman, hearing from the authorities. And naturally, in our life, we are accustomed to doing that. So when it comes to our spiritual life, certainly it is important to accept Shabda, the authority. Otherwise, we can never understand these things. We can't go and verify. We can adopt the process which can give us the realization. But to start with, we need to accept the Shabda, the hearing from the authorities. And interesting enough, we can see, even though Lord Brahma gets a temporary vision of the spiritual world, he goes to Vaikuntha, he goes to Goloka Vrindavan. However, after some time, he's back to his service. The Lord is giving the realization of the entire spiritual world. He is seeing the residents serving the Lord personally. He is seeing the inhabitants. But, so he understands, he realizes himself that I belong to that spiritual world. I am not belonging to this material world. I am not alone. There are so many residents, pure devotees who are serving Krishna. However, after that, this vision is removed from Brahma. He's not constantly seeing and he's not constantly associating in the spiritual world with the Lord, then he is back to his service. It can look like it is a distinction, it is distant from the spiritual world. But he is creating, he is taking into account of all the karma of all the living entities, all the desire of all the living entities, and giving them bodies accordingly. So it's a huge task, it's a very difficult task. Probably in the spiritual world, he doesn't have to do the same thing because there is no need of creation in the spiritual world. And his eternal service has nothing to do with this kind of creation. But still, this is the service in his hand. So we, even though we hear about the spiritual world, we understand we have service in the spiritual world. It could be different from what we are doing here, but in the bhakti, ninefold process of bhakti, has the straight connection from in the material world and the spiritual world. But on many other practical devotional services, it could be a bit different. Still, these are the services which are in our hand at this point of time. So we need to engage, we need to focus on them while we hear the glories of the Lord, while we hear the pastimes of the Lord. Understanding, bhakti, the service in essence, is no different. As in the second purport, the verse 13 mentions, they have airplanes. The residents of Vaikuntha, they are flying around. They are not static. They can just fly wherever they want. The Mahatmas, the great devotees, they have airplanes. They can go anywhere they want. It is mentioned, even in the material world, there are airplanes which can work by non-mechanistic means, by the power of mantra. There are airplanes like that. Bharadwaj Muni, he had a book, still has a book, no one can understand though, that is called Vaimanika Shastra. Vaimanika Shastra means basically the aeronautical science. Vaimanika Shastra, aeronautical science. And people can't really make use of it because it's a gone technology. There's no access to it whatsoever. Even though the book is there, there's no access to it. They cannot really understand because people want to understand everything from a point of view of a machine in a mechanistic way, but this is subtle technology. In fact, around the world, subtle technologies did exist. That's the reality. If you even talk about Egypt, if I talk about pyramids, how pyramids were constructed? There are so many Egyptologists, okay? Egyptologists, they study pyramids and how they were constructed. They have never come to a conclusion how they were constructed. Don't know. It's not possible. How these big stones were lifted so high by human force. Impossible. They couldn't find. How these stones were cut. Don't know. So they say it is by the mantra sound. That's their conclusion. Same in the Tibet. Tibetan monks, they could lift big stones to the sky. They were constructing, and there is a first-hand information written by a Western traveler saying that, okay, he personally saw Tibetan monks, they could lift up the stones. They have a particular instrument they are playing, and he saw the big stones of big size flying in the sky and placed on an elevated platform. Probably hundreds of meters high. So, around the world, even the Mayans and the Incans, they have all this kind of information about subtle technologies. That was there. We cannot understand. It doesn't mean that it didn't exist. So this is just subtle technologies in the earth. Maybe a few hundred or maybe 1,000 years back. Not so long. So think about the Vaikuntha planet, where they have the airplanes. They have not Qantas, they have Brahman airplanes. That's what's mentioned. Brahman Airways. Because the airplane in itself is not qualitatively different from the spiritual nature, the body. That is Satchidananda. Even the airplanes are Satchidananda. Not just the body is Satchidananda. We are Satchidananda. The Lord is Satchidananda. But the airplane is also Satchidananda. Satchidananda Airways. So that is spiritual world. And the great Mahatmas, they are just flying around. Understand, they are not flying around for their enjoyment, but for the pleasure of the Lord in connection to their service. And not only that, there are beautiful ladies who are effulgent like lightning. So, the normal beauties of this world is nothing in comparison to the spiritual beauty. And they are also working together in service of Krishna, or the Lord. So this is the spiritual world. And we need to come to the platform of realization from knowledge. So this is the essential point, as Brahmaji is demonstrating, because he got the initial instruction in the form of tapa, and he did perform austerities in devotional service, tapo divyam. And with that, he is getting the realization. So Brahmaji, he's also showing, yes, I got this knowledge, but in the fire of devotional service, I am realizing this knowledge. And he's showing this to rest of the parampara. And we can see that. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, a verse is quoted. It is spoken by Lord Shiva. He says, Aham vedmi shuko veti vyaso veti na vetiva. Bhaktiya Bhagavatam Grahyam na buddhya na thikaya. He says, okay, I know Srimad Bhagavatam. I know the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. I have realized. Shukadev Goswami, he also knows Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadev may know or may not know. But he gives the final instruction very interestingly. Bhaktiya Bhagavatam Grahyam. One must know, one must understand Srimad Bhagavatam. One must realize Srimad Bhagavatam in bhakti. Not by just by commentary, imaginary commentary, or just by intellectual analysis. He says, one should understand by bhakti. Now, what is this bhakti? One time, I was speaking to one of my relatives about Bhagavatam. And he said, you are saying that, okay, these people who are speaking Bhagavatam, they don't have bhakti? Only you people have bhakti? Actually speaking, it is true. Many reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam, they don't have bhakti. Why? We need to understand Srila Prabhupada, how he translated bhakti. Unmotivated, loving devotional service. Loving devotional service. It means it is not just a matter of heart. It's not say, okay, everything is there. Bhakti, generally when we hear the term devotion, love, it is we just speak about the love. Everything is in bhakti. And I have heard people saying, he gives a beautiful purport to Srimad Bhagavatam with lot of bhakti. But if you see their life, bhakti should come out as service. I have seen people, they speak Bhagavatam. Even some people cry hearing that constantly. But they are not doing any service for Krishna at all. They are not chanting Krishna's names. They are reluctant to offer what they are cooking to the Lord. They are saying it is not necessary. They are not doing any practical service. Some of them, they don't consider it is necessary to go and worship the Lord in the temple. However, for us, these things are automatically given. This is the parampara is giving bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada is giving bhakti. Practical engagement is given already. And with that, if we study Srimad Bhagavatam, then we will get realization. So it is true. If you are not doing actually any service, then that is not bhakti. It is not bhakti. It's not enough. So it is a very important point. And people think bhakti is just internal. No, it is not just internal. It has to come out as service. And especially for us, you know, we know we are beginning, at least most of us are beginning devotees. And who is qualified just to remember Krishna all the time, sitting in one place or chanting his names all the time? It is impossible. We don't have the ability, we don't have the piety. If we try to do so, then we will end up leaving Krishna consciousness. This is the example of a devotee in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada's disciple. He created a hut and he started Akhanda Naam Sankirtan, continuous chanting. Srila Prabhupada, when he heard about this, made a statement that when he is advanced enough, he would come and join us devotees. When he is advanced enough. And he will engage in service. So, advanced platform is association with the devotees. And Bhagavatam gives us the opportunity to realize. Bhagavatam gives not only pastimes, because when you speak about pastimes, okay, we can hear it is wonderful, it is attractive, but realization of the pastimes, it can take time. It has to take time. However, Bhagavatam doesn't stop there. Bhagavatam gives such beautiful practical philosophy which we can apply in our day-to-day life and by which we can purify our existence. I was just thinking about a verse which I heard recently in Burjan Prabhu's retreat. Arthehi avadhyamanepi samsrutir na nivartate dhyayato vishyan pushyam yasya swapne anarthagamano yatha. It's a very, very important, very interesting verse. I really like this verse. Because I thought, okay, this is for me. This verse is for me. And I hope it is for every one of us. So it is said, for one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life, although lacking factual existence, does not go away. Just as unpleasant experiences of the dream do not. See, such a very beautiful verse. When I heard this, it gave me a, you know, very interesting perception of the whole thing. Yeah, we have heard about contemplation and its you know, effects, its ramification. Bhagavad Gita, we can see. When I heard this, first point struck me with was, look, if the mind is absorbed in sense gratification in one way or the other, into one degree or the other degree, to that level, we are in material existence. Even though we are wearing the devotee clothes, we may be chanting, we are reading, we are in association, still, to that degree, we are under the material clutches. So it actually helped me. Look, and there is I will read a little bit of the purport of the end. It was very nice. After one awakens from a dream, the dim reflection of the dream may linger in one's memory. Similarly, one engaging in the devotion service of the Lord may be troubled sometimes by the dim reflections of sinful life. One should therefore become strong in Krishna consciousness by hearing the Lord's instructions to Sri Uddhava. So, one should hear Lord's instructions and apply. And one should become strong in our sadhana, in our service. So that we have the strength to cut this contemplation on sense objects. We have the strength. We need the strength. Without the strength, it is impossible to bring the mind back to Krishna. It is impossible. So we are actually strengthening. We are actually going through the process. We are gaining strength. It's like if you go to gym, as one workout, one increases the weight. You know, how much weight one is carrying, one has to increase. In the same way, we have to increase our devotion. We have to increase the determination. We have to increase the quality. We have to increase the quantity. Otherwise, we cannot push on. One devotee, very senior devotee, was telling me that as you go in devotion service, you have to increase your level, what you are aiming for. You have to try for better. You have to constantly try to improve yourself, he was telling me. It makes a lot of sense. Then, when we are pushing forward, then we are gaining strength in our devotion. We want to achieve more in our devotion. Then, we have more strength to fight Maya. Because Maya, the three modes of material nature, the mind is made of three modes of material nature. And that is getting influenced by Maya internally. And to that degree, we are in material existence, even though we are practicing. So this is our condition. And we have to accept this. And we have to work on it. First part of solving a problem is understanding that there is a problem and accepting that there is a problem. When we recognize, okay, this is the way my mind is working, this is how the whole thing is happening, okay, then what's the solution? We don't directly wrestle with the mind, we don't just fight with the mind, but we take to devotional service to defeat the mind. We cannot just apply the jnani process. Okay, mind is thinking like this, so I will make this adjustment to my mind so that, you know, it will be balanced. No, it's not going to work. We have to take it to devotional service, and then we can see Krishna is actually removing the obstacles. And if you have trouble, go to the deity. Go to the deity. They will take care. We can't take care of our mind. They will take care of the mind. So we get the practical realization in bhakti. In our service, in our sadhana, in our worship, we get realization. We see Krishna's reciprocation. Then we understand, okay, we have hope. Unless and until we see Krishna's reciprocation, it is very difficult to continue bhakti. It's a fact. We need reciprocation. We need realization that the Lord can give directly. And when we get that, then it becomes easier. Okay. Now, maybe I have trouble now, but you know, I remember when the Lord reciprocated me in such and such way. Everyone has this realization. Whoever is doing bhakti, everyone has this realization. And then that will keep us going. And in the verse 12, it's mentioned, some residents, they have sarupya. Interesting, they are looking like the Lord. So this is a part of the spiritual realization that some of them look like the Supreme Lord. We know, in case of Uddhava, Uddhava was sent to Vrindavan by Krishna as a messenger, but to teach him a lesson. So Krishna used Uddhava for multi-purpose. One was that, okay, the gopis receive a message from Krishna through Uddhava. And second, Uddhava is a very intelligent person and he considered himself also a great devotee of the Lord. And he was mantri, he was the minister of the Lord. And he was a disciple of Brihaspati. Brihaspati is the Deva Guru. So highly qualified. But the Lord wanted to give Uddhava a higher association to bring him to the next standard. So, same thing in our association. We are trying to pick ourselves up to, okay, a little bit more. So, the Lord himself wanted Uddhava to get to the next standard. And for that sake, the Lord sent him to Vrindavan. So, when he reached Vrindavan, okay, the initial episode is there where he meets Nanda Maharaj. And, you know, he sees the devastating situation in Vrindavan. And next day morning, Uddhava got up. And, you know, he was performing his morning duties. And then the gopis, they saw Uddhava. And when gopis saw Uddhava, they were seeing the lotus eyes of Uddhava. And he was seeing the darkish complexion of Uddhava. And they were seeing the lotus garland around his neck. And they were seeing beautiful yellow garlands. Yellow dress, yellow dhoti and the uttariya. And when they saw the whole thing, initially they were thinking, this is, he must be a devotee of the Lord because he is resembling Krishna. He must be a follower. So this is the principle of sarupya. The principle of sarupya is that when one is strictly following the Lord, when he's along with the Lord, they are looking like the Supreme Lord. This is sarupya. The Lord is bestowing that. We can see the same principle in pastimes of Lord Chaitanya also. There were two personalities who were looking like Lord Chaitanya. Who were they? Any guess? Who were they? Who were looking exactly like Lord Chaitanya? Resembling. One is Swarup Damodar Goswami and one is? Another is Rupa Goswami. So it is mentioned. They were like, you know, okay, there is a beautiful verse describing the aspect, the different features of Rupa Goswami. One of them is, he was just looking, Nijaswarupe, he was just looking like Lord Chaitanya. Same with Swarup Damodar Goswami. Because of the close association, they were resembling, they were looking like Lord Chaitanya. Similar features. So this is the Swarupya, because the association of the Lord, even the one's form can change. It's not that it has to happen all the time, but it is possible. And Lord Brahma is getting the realization of Sarupya Mukti. He's saying, this is in Vaikuntha, same applies to Vrindavan also. And finally, there is a brief point regarding Uddhava's visits. The final point I would like to mention regarding, it's a whole pastime, but the final point I can mention is that ultimately, there is a beautiful, wonderful conversation between Uddhava and gopis, and the gopis, they are seeing Brahmara, they are seeing the bees, and they are seeing Krishna in everything. And at the end, these gopis, they ask Uddhava, that has actually Krishna, is he remembering us? He has gone to Mathura only because Nanda Maharaj allowed him to go. Otherwise he wouldn't have gone. They said if Nanda Maharaj had given permission, then Mother Yashoda, the queen of Vrindavan, would have jumped on the chariot of Akrura. And he would have grabbed Krishna down. That was the end of the story. But the most unfortunate situation is that our Nanda Maharaj is very, very naive. Now he is very innocent. So that's why the whole thing unfolded. And now he is in Mathura and he cannot even come back because Krishna is a gentleman. And he is obedient to his father, Nanda. So he cannot stay there. Because he has to stay there because his father hasn't given him permission. And he is associating with the beautiful ladies of Mathura. And so, and they don't know how to serve him. And is he actually speaking about us? And he should actually come. He will come. So that is their hope. And seeing this, Uddhava concluded that there is no one in the world who has as much love as the gopis. And he thought, okay, I should become at least a creeper or a grass in Vrindavan which will be trampled by the footsteps of gopis. In that way, I can improve in my devotion. So this is Uddhava is showing that how to associate with the devotees. So for us, we have the same opportunity. We have devotees here. We are not on Uddhava standard where we have to now, the only thing left is Braja Bhakti. We are not yet there. We are still struggling. We are struggling like anything. We are struggling with our mind. Mind is creating such a hard time. Not only in chanting, we think our problem is only chanting. Chanting mind is going everywhere. But mind is going everywhere all the time. While chanting, certainly it is going because we are trying to focus. Then we see that it is going away. While service, definitely. That's why we have the time spaced out. Because it is very common. It is nothing. It is while service, while reading, even while reading Bhagavatam, mind is going everywhere. Sometimes read a purport or read a translation and think, what did I read? Can't remember even a single sentence. It's a reality. So this is the mind. So now we are in the association of the devotees. So we have to see other devotees. How are they doing very well? All the devotees, they will be doing at least certain aspects very nicely. We shouldn't see with envy. Rather, we should see, okay, at least I can see that devotee. Okay, he's doing such and such thing very wonderfully. Let me at least improve in that respect. So that will help us. So they were showing, yeah, he's trying to improve in his level. And we have to improve in our level. Otherwise, what is the hope? There is no hope of association with the devotees. If we are envious, that is the thing we have to just remove from our heart as much as we can in our capacity, because envy is the only thing keeping us in our world, in this world, the primary reason. And Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport saying, okay, there has to be variegatedness in the spiritual world. And it's talking about the people with four hands, talking about the yantras, about the planes and the other carriages, so many things. So Prabhupada is saying, okay, there are so many varieties of things in the spiritual world. It is not just here, but in the spiritual world as well. And one shouldn't come to a wrong conclusion that spiritual liberation, spiritual realization ultimately means nothingness, everything just one. No, that is completely rejected. And Bhagavatam naturally gives that variety of the spiritual world. And most importantly, Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the understanding of varieties in realization of the Absolute in terms of relations. So that's a very interesting aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. All the devotees in Bhagavatam, we can see they are uniquely connected to the Supreme Lord. As in the Sri Isha Upanishad, one of the purports in the beginning verses, Srila Prabhupada says that everyone has unique connection with Krishna, and we need to realize that connection to Krishna. So we can see ample of examples in Srimad Bhagavatam where devotees are demonstrating their particular connection to Krishna, and they are serving in that particular connection. So that actually removes the misconception of impersonalism. So with that, I stop and see if there are any comments, questions. Yes, Prabhu. How do you control anger? Two things are important. One is on general spiritual practice, which we are trying to do. And when it comes to specific aspect of anger, why do we have anger? Because, as Bhagavad Gita says, because we have attachment. We want certain things to come to our life. We want to do certain things in certain way. And if we are unable to do so, then we can become angry because our attachment is frustrated. Is it correct? So one has to see the cause of anger. Anger can come in two circumstances, broadly classifying. One is due to our petty material attachments. I need to get this and I am not getting this. So anger is coming. So one solution is one can think, why am I actually getting angry? Why is it coming? See the cause. Try to see the cause. See the cause as material. And on the other side, there can be sometimes a bit of anger if something we need to do spiritually and something needs to get done, but it is not happening because of some fault, maybe in our part or in another part. Then one can positively use that anger to correct ourselves. Or if you are in a position to correct others, we can use that anger if you are in a position only. So otherwise, material anger has to be removed. It's no point. So one has to see the cause. Why is it coming? Not just going in the cycle, you know, getting angry and adding more fuel to it and becoming more angry and adding more fuel, going, it's just, it can go on and on. Rather, one should see, why am I angry? What's the reason? And understand it is material. And understand it is not something which is pleasant, which is not, you know, it is anartha, that's all. Then, there is another thing, that is, we have to improve our spiritual standards. In terms of our chanting, in terms of following the principle, we have to increase our standard. We have to increase our standard of our service, etc. Then, we'll get mercy of the Lord. So we had to do two things. On the sadhana service side, we had to work. And on the particular aspect of anger, when it is hitting us, we had to just stop. Yes, understand. Understand this is a mind. This is coming to the mind. Understand, it's just coming to the mind. I am not anger. Anger is not my part, actually. This material anger is not my. It's not mine. The mind is agitated. And it is because of my material attachment. Understand, though, you know, see the whole picture. At least then one can control. If one can see why the whole thing is happening, then one will be able to control that. If one cannot see that, then one just goes on and on and on. And sometimes it is also good to see a higher picture, a broad picture. Because we may be getting angry in a particular small, petty attachment in a corner. Whereas, if you see, without example I cannot say, but the whole picture of our devotional service or the whole picture of our life, it will be very broad. And the thing which we are actually pinpricking, it will be like, you know, just a small thing. So one should see in perspective. Then one understand, okay, it is something, okay, it's not that anger is just immediately gone, but it can be controlled. And we don't speak or act with that state of mind. Because it can cause more problems. Yes, Prabhu. Okay. Thank you.
How do you define bhakti?
I think we covered already in our lecture, right? We already discussed what is bhakti.
Yeah, that's why I want to
repeat.
Repeat.
Srila Prabhupada translated bhakti as selfless, you know, loving, devotional service unto Krishna. Krishna. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. One thing is we have to hear repeatedly because we are forgetful. We hear and we forget. When the time comes, it's gone. So repeated hearing is necessary. And when we are agitated, just contemplate. Why is it happening? See it in perspective. That is a common point. Whenever the mind is agitated, see it in perspective. Why is it happening? And take to some solution. No need to, you know, I am not meant for suffering. And I am suffering because of my mind. That is the primary reason. Primary reason is mind is the cause of suffering. So, why is it so? I'm not the mind. Some thinking, you know, we had to contemplate. Then we can bring in some devotional aspect to it. Then we can bring in ourselves, what am I doing? Why am I getting this problem? Otherwise, there is no end to it. If you are just in the mind, it's just going on and on and on and on. We had to, at one point, yes, I had to do something about it. I have to stop my suffering. That is a, see, it's a basic platform, you know. At least I have to stop my suffering. Many times, if I have, you know, the mind is just going on with the same thing again and again, again and again. I just, you know, one point I just stop. Enough. Enough, really. Enough. I am not meant for this. I am not meant for this. First, I am not the mind. And this, whatever is going on, yes, Krishna, I see, yes, my mind is going in this way, but my aim is to serve you in a proper way. And what my mind is telling, I don't want to listen to that. It is just creating me trouble. Lord, kindly remove that. He can remove. He has removed so many times. Still he will remove. Because the purpose of the mind is to give us trouble. In one sense, it has to. Don't expect an obedient mind. Now, at least. Mana evahi manishyanam karanam bandha mokshayo. The only reason of liberation or entanglement in the material existence is because of our mind. We had to stop. When the mind is really giving a hard time, at one point you say, enough. Enough. Now, Krishna, I want to serve you. I don't want to serve my mind. I listened so much to my mind. This is reality, so much. And such a difficult time mind is giving. Amazing, actually. At one point, you think about Krishna. Enough. I want to serve you. Oh, Lord, kindly help me. Then the Lord will take care. It has to work. It has to work. Yeah, true. Stop. Chanting, thoughts come, just chant. Just listen to the mantra. Then it is Krishna's job. Krishna will take care. Actually, we cannot control our mind. Mind we cannot control. Only Krishna has to do that. We can take the necessary steps to do so. That's all. If you say just mind, just sit there. It acts like sitting for some time. Come up. So, actually, Srila Prabhupada, it's very interesting. Prabhupada's formula is that engage in bhakti so that we neglect our mind. So when we engage in our bhakti, we neglect our mind, in the sense not neglecting the whole mind, the troublesome part, the thoughts which are coming troublesome, that is neglected, that is in the background. And it is amazing, a tiny bit of absorption in bhakti, in Krishna, any aspect of Krishna consciousness is more than enough to control the mind. So the mind is automatically neglected and controlled. Only a little bit. We don't have to become Paramahamsa. No need. Really, even before, if the mind is giving us trouble, a little bit of, just sometimes, one time. The mind was rotating, you know, it's just things are going on. I was just doing arati, offering the lamp, you know, I just saw Krishna. Then the whole consciousness changed. That's it. What can we do? That's it. It's so simple in one sense. So Krishna is doing it. Yeah, what can we do? That depend on Krishna. So by absorption, this is the formula. If you want to get out from the trouble, absorb in Krishna consciousness. Mind absorbed in Krishna. And that is only possible by His mercy. So approach Krishna. Then it will happen. It has to happen. If we are sincere, there can be tests. There will be tests. But if we absorb, then it will happen. If you try to absorb, we cannot absorb also because mind is crazy. But if you try to absorb, if you do that, then it will happen.
Many times. Another example. Just mind is just terrible. Just, okay, sit and chant 16 rounds. Morning. You know, it's a common thing. Many times the mind is not good before chanting. But after chanting, mind becomes very clear. It has happened to me so many times. Just focus and chant. You are a different person at the end of 16 rounds. If you are listening. You know, at least try to listen. Yeah, definitely we feel that. We all have that realization. So we have the process and we can see it is working. It's not something, you know, just written there. That's the realization we have to realize. So troubled mind, get in connection with Krishna. Otherwise, again, I told you the same verse. Artehi, what is that? Artehi, artebi, avidyamanebi, samsirthir nanivartate. Samsirthir nanivartate. The material existence doesn't go away. Because of mind. So that's the reason Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has this famous song, Emana Durmati Samsare. It goes like that. Emana Durmati, this dur, what is the bad mind? Eman, this mind has given me actually the samsara. This mind actually is this mind is keeping me in the samsara. Such an important point. So samsrita na nivartate, it doesn't go away. Dhyayatam vishayan yasya svapne anarthagamo yatha. Dhyayatam vishayan, basically with some sense objects or something which is not necessary, that is actually keeping the trouble to the mind. So that is keeping us in the material world. So understand, our life is not meant for this. Our mind is not to become a mental. After coming to Krishna consciousness, you know, we were already on mental platform. Now, after starting the whole process, still be on our mental plane all the time. So, cut it and do something positive in devotional service. You know, it's not a formula like, okay, you do this. Now you chant. Now you go to the deity. You do something devotional and Krishna will help. Yeah. Okay. Any final question? Okay. If not, thank you very much. Grantharashimad Bhagavatam ki.